Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
So welcome back to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast about NICU verification with regards to the upcoming goals of licensure of NICUs in the state of Tennessee. So Tammy, I wanted to get back to you a little bit about the day of survey. What happens when the surveyors come through the door?
So the surveyors usually arrive the evening before. Actually, we will have usually talked to the group about 20 days before the survey. So Nicole and the AAP team will have been talking to people and helping them with their paperwork. On about 20 days before the survey, we'll have a virtual meeting to talk about the things that we see that we can't see in the paperwork, if we have any questions, and to make last minute plans for where we're going to meet you, how we're going to meet you, because some of these hospitals are very rural. Some of them are very much in the city and we can very much get misplaced. How's that? And then we meet people, we have an opening meeting where we introduce each other and talk about some of the legalities and HIPAA protections and all of those kind of things. And then we start interviewing people that are part of the team. So we usually start with the leaders, the medical director and the nursing director. And if we have a surgeon with us, the head of surgery as well. Then we move on to routine caregivers and ancillary staff, because we all know it takes a team in the nursery. So our opportunity, our goal is to talk to the entire team. Sometime during that 2 days, we will do a tour of the nursery and of any resuscitation areas, wherever they might be. The surgeons, of course, will take a tour of the surgical areas, recovery, all of those kind of things. And then sometime before, then we do several hours of chart review, which is all of our favorite parts, to look at records, but you learn a lot about your documentation and what documentation looks like when completed, not necessarily while you're doing it. And then before we leave, we sit down and have another meeting and tell people our basic findings. Again, our goal is no surprises. If we see something that we think might be problematic, we're going to tell you. If we see something that's wonderful, we're going to tell you that as well. So it's a very busy and very full couple of days.
And Nicole, is there any opportunity for hospital C-suite personnel to be interviewed in this process?
So we welcome C-suite leaders to participate in any portion of the survey. They are often generally at our opening session in which introductions are happening. We do a high-level overview of the survey process itself. And throughout the course of the survey, they are more than welcome to join. They also join the last session where we identify potential deficiencies, which are then reviewed to ensure that there's consistency across all of our surveys and identified as actual deficiencies with the final report. So there's involvement with C-suite throughout the entire process. We don't have specific sessions where our surveyors will meet with C-suite individuals, but we welcome their participation for the duration of the survey.
Great. And Colleen, what's your perspective on the survey process, the actual 2 days of intensive review?
Tammy provided a great overview of what the 2 days looks like. One of my favorite parts, honestly, is getting to meet each of the different providers. We are able to directly interview nurses at various levels in their career. I really appreciate hearing the different perspectives from individuals. And also, one of my favorite meetings is we have a group meeting with the respiratory therapist, physical therapist, lactation, social work, and I'm forgetting many, many others because the list could go on and on, but we truly directly interact with these individuals and ask, do you have the resources that you need to do the best in your job, to really elevate neonatal care through the hospital resources that are provided to you? And if not, what are some hospital resources we can ask for that you may be needing in order to improve the care that you're providing? So speech therapy too. I mean, again, we see these individuals over and over. They are so integral to improving and providing high quality care to our babies. That's just some of my favorite parts of the survey.
And if I could add, I think as a program, our goal is to collaborate again with facilities. We tell facilities in that pre-survey process, the survey is your time to shine. I find that there's sometimes a misconception that the survey is really focused on finding deficiencies, and that is not our goal. Our goal is to help facilities identify opportunities for improvement, because we know facilities are doing great things and the best of their abilities to provide the best care. But again, we want to focus on really elevating that care versus finding deficiencies. And so what we tell every facility is, we hope that our preparation allows you to utilize that survey to brag and really shine and show the great work that you are doing over that 2-day survey.
And this process is designed to be reiterative. In other words, you're going through this process every 3 years. Is that correct?
Correct. So facilities that engage in our program, it's a 3-year cycle. So the first year is focused on survey prep. The second year is the survey and the designation process. And then year 3 is that continuous quality improvement process. So we are collaborating with you through that entire process. And then once that year 3 touch-in happens, is you essentially start that process all over again, preparing for that next survey.
So you must have some thoughts about the value of that continuous process every 3 years. And I wonder if you could speak to some examples of how hospitals and NICUs have used this in a very productive way over time.
So one of the great things about this program is we are conducting our own continuous quality improvement project. And through this work, our goal is, and our mission is, collaboration. And I'm going to have Colleen speak to, you know, the importance of all of us speaking kind of the same language when it comes to the standards. And so through that work, we hope that the partnership with facilities allows for us to have continued dialogue about continuously evolving and improving care. You know, evidence-based literature is always changing. Best practice recommendations are always changing. And it's identifying that work together as a team, because we utilize both clinical experts and individuals who are very involved in the NICU care on a regular basis. So what we have seen so far in the examples I can provide is that we've seen increases in the development of policies, procedures, and guidelines that facilities may not have. So they may have a policy that requires delivery room attendance, but if there needs to be an escalation of care, they don't have a defined process or procedure as to when they need to notify somebody and when that individual needs to arrive at the bedside. So what we have seen in this process is an increase in policies, procedures, and guidelines, an increase in established processes and infrastructure for peer review and record reviews on a continuous basis to assess their own care being provided. And then we've also seen an improvement in resources. I spoke earlier to the increase in lactation consultants, because with the benefits of human milk, it really starts with both mom and baby, but the support that the facilities are providing to really increase that exposure to human milk. And so I want to pass to Colleen, because I'm sure she can add some great insights to her experience in this process. But I think that's what we've seen as a program from the high level perspective.
Thank you, Nicole. One of the aspects about the program that I didn't emphasize enough at the beginning is one of the statements that one of our favorite neonatologists says is that through the AAP standards for the levels of care, it really defines the common language that we're all using. So that way, when we come into a facility, and like Nicole said, it could be a rural setting or an urban setting, we're still using the same language and standards to evaluate those facilities. And also, as Tammy mentioned, it's not a one person or a two person evaluation. It's truly reviewed at multiple levels so that there's not any bias, so to speak, that's brought in, that we genuinely are reviewing everyone based on the same standards and verifying that their NICU is providing the level of care that they say that they're providing based on the standards.
But is there any benefits that you've seen in engaging with the facilities through this continuous process? You've probably seen facilities go through this multiple times now, and can you maybe speak a little bit to what you find the value in that is?
Thank you, Nicole. So Nicole mentioned previously in our first part of the podcast that all of the facilities receive the report at the conclusion of this in-person survey that identifies any deficiencies, as well as obviously discloses all of the areas that the NICU met. In addition to the deficiencies, we also have something in the report called the additional findings. And that's where the survey team, whether it's two individuals, the neonatologist and the neonatal nurse, or three individuals, including the surgeon, are able to identify any areas that are noted to be potential areas for improvement. And it could be related to, again, collecting data for their quality improvement projects or improving their robust mock code reviews. Or I think about one recently that I saw was about documentation related to code events. It was less than stellar. So what happens is like Nicole said, when that three-year process ends and then they begin again for the second cycle, they're able to have an extended focus on some of those areas for improvement. And we're able to come back in and they're so proud to show how you guys identified our mock codes were not meeting these standards. And these are some of the specific interventions that we've done. And here are the outcomes we've measured to show how we have improved this mock code process, for example. So that's always so great to see. And just for a transparency disclosure, the surveyors don't return again for the next cycle. So it's a whole new set of surveyors. So again, there's no bias introduced. And so I get to hear about some of the areas that they've been working on based on their previous findings. And so it's not like, oh, so-and-so's coming back again. They already said this about us, but it's a totally different team of experts that are coming in and truly giving an unbiased evaluation.
Well, I want to thank you three for giving your time today to talk about verification of NICU levels of care. This has been really illuminating. And I think you've really helped us understand that this process is never intended to be punitive, but is intended to be enriching and to make the work that we do for the babies and families that we serve to be that much better on a continuous basis. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.